Hey there, you've tuned into Thrive's Podcast, a student ministry part of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. You can check us out every Saturday night at 6, or if you missed everything I just said, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Thrive at Victory.
Tonight, me and Ellie want to talk to you guys about blessings in the boundaries. Blessings in the boundaries. And what I want Ellie to do is I want her to kind of tell you her first time she met me and what she thought about me. So you guys need to get some context about how we met. So Ellie, why don't you just share a little bit about how we met?
Well, we were kind of like, we were friends with each other's like friend circle for a while, because he came to 19 North and I was like, oh, who's that? Like, he's really, really cute. And then he started working at the church. And then I got really excited because I was a creep. I totally was. I had a huge crush on him. And I knew when he ate lunch.
Oh.
And oh. I would...
That's called church stalk. She found me. She hunted me down.
Yeah, kind of. But I figured out when he was eating lunch, and I would, like, strategically go into the kitchen, the staff kitchen at the same time, and, like, get coffee. Guys, I don't drink coffee at all. But, like... We went and I went in and said hi and stuff. And eventually, I mustered up the courage to see if he wanted to go to Chipotle. To which this guy responds, "Oh, it's okay. I have pistachios for dinner."
that's what you call playing hard to get. Yeah. I know the game of relationship.
Yeah. I was like, he's not into me at all. And turns out you were. But
just a little bit.
He was a little shy. He was a little shy. Yeah.
And now that's the first time, like, we really met and we started to talk in the lunchroom. And I just have to say, I was working on my tan, so I always had these cutoffs on and my chest hair was showing.
On his tan.
And she just couldn't resist. I mean, like, yeah, that's what you told me.
But, all know why you're wearing those. Yeah,
But I want to tell you guys real quick about the first time that me and Ellie actually went out on a date. And I want to throw this disclaimer out there that I was a poor college kid. I was a senior in college. I literally didn't have two pennies to rub together. So I'm like, how can I take this girl out? I have no money to my name. So I went and I texted her. I was like, hey, you want to hang out? You want to go maybe get some food? And it was the first time that I actually went and picked her up on our first date. And I was so nervous. So, you know, on the way there, I pulled out my iPhone, and I'm like, man, I got to come up with, like, 15 questions just in case I run out of things to say. Any of you guys are like that when you go out on a date, your first date, you're like, I have no idea what I'm going to talk to this chick about. I'm going to just pull up my notes, make some notes, write down some questions. So I had, like, a list of 15 questions as I was going to pick her up, and I was so nervous. Like, legit, I was so nervous. So I'm going to pick her up, and I go into her driveway. And I'm, like, sweating. I'm like, man, I smell like BO already. I just put deodorant on 20 minutes ago. I'm putting some deodorant on. So I get out of the car, and literally I'm like, let's go. I'm a man. I'm going to take this home. We're going to have a good date. So I knocked on her door, and as I was knocking on her door, I looked to the side, and I realized that there was this white thing moving in the driveway. And that white thing so happened to be my car. I forgot to put my car in park. So I look, I see my car's moving, and I'm an athlete, man. Like, you guys should see me on the basketball court. Some of you guys already did. I'm good, okay? I'm not bragging. Yeah, Mickey, I'm good, bro. Yeah, bro.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm knocking on the door. I realize that my car is still in drive. So I take off. I'm running down her sidewalk.
Yeah, meanwhile, I open the door and no one's there.
I was like, ghosting what? It, baby. So I ran down the sidewalk and I realize I was too late. And my car slowly drifted and hit the back of her car.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to tell her? So I hurry up and get my car, put in reverse. I come back. She's at the door. She's like, what are you doing, Zach?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I just had to get something in the car. And I was like, you know what? I got to use the restroom. You cool if I go to the bathroom real quick? So I go in the bathroom, and I'm like debating. I'm like.
He was in there for a while. I was like.
It's like that Dumb and Dumber movie. You guys ever watch that where he goes pick that girl and the toilet doesn't work and he took a nice crap and he's like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So I'm freaking out. I'm like, Do I tell her this is our first date? Do I not tell her? And finally, I had the courage, after about 5 minutes in the bathroom, I was like, hey, Elle, I have something I need to tell you. She's like, Zach, what's going on? I said, I forgot to park my car when I came to pick you up, and it hit the back of your car. And remember how I told you I was a broke college kid. I didn't have two pennies to rub in my name. So I'm like, how in the world am I going to pay for this? And I'm over here, you know, I'll do whatever it takes to pay for it. You know, everything will be okay. But the moral of the story and the end of the story is, guess what? She's my wife. And
it all worked out. It all worked out. So even if you run into their car, there's still a chance.
Yes, amen, amen. But tonight, guys, we want to speak to you for about 15 more minutes. And after we're done speaking, we're actually going to be praying for some of you guys, maybe all of you guys, because I know being in high school, the struggle is real. And being in high school, you have this pressure to number one, to look a certain way, to act a certain way, but also to almost fit into what the culture is telling you to do when it comes to relationships. So I'm coming from the premise of I've been there before. And just because I've been there before, Ellie has not, but just because I have been there before, let me say this, it does not give you the excuse to do what I have done. So we want to talk to you guys tonight, just have some dialogue, and it's just like we're sitting in our living room, and we want you just to be a part of this conversation. But we want to talk to you guys about the blessings in the boundary. There's blessings in the boundary. And if we're not careful, a lot of times what we'll look at when it comes to boundaries, we won't look at them as blessings, but if we have a worldly mindset, we'll start to look at boundaries as a burden. But tonight, it's our hope that we get to speak life into you and we get to show you what it looks like to have a godly relationship in a culture that is breathing down your neck and saying, you know what, do what you want, live it up, you only have one life, sleep with as many people as you want, find that one, hit them up on Twitter, hit them up on Facebook, hit them up on Snapchat, hit them up on Swipe Right, whatever that is. What's that?
Tinder.
But we want to show you that, man, when you do it God's way, when you set up boundaries in your life and in your relationship, that God actually honors that and he blesses that. And it all starts in the beginning of time. God made Adam and Eve, and he said to Adam and Eve, this is the first boundary or commandment that he gave Adam and Eve. In Genesis, it's the first book of the Bible, and he says this to Adam and Eve. He says in Genesis chapter 2, 8 and 9, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then I'll go ahead and read the second.
Yeah, and then in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, it goes on to say, and it says, and the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.
And when I read these two verses, they line up together. And God's basically sitting down with Adam and Eve, and he's saying, listen, I want you to have a blessed life. Mm-hmm. I want you to be prosperous. I want you to have, man, everything that you want to have, because as a father, I want to bless my kids, and you are my kids. So he tells Adam and Eve, and he says, listen, everything is good for food except for one thing. So God is establishing boundaries and a commandment with his people. Yeah. And a lot of times, here's what I hear all the time. Being a Christian is boring. Man, there's too many rules. There's too many commandments. I can never have any fun. But when you have a worldly mindset, the Bible makes it very clear that Satan, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Mm-hmm. So he'll put something in your life that looks good, but behind that look good, it actually leads to death. So God is, he's basically sitting down with Adam and Eve, and he's saying, listen, it's of my desire and my will to see you be fruitful and to multiply. It's my will that you be prosperous in this life.
Yeah.
And to prove my point, it says here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And when you look back at the original text, the original Greek, the word Eden what it means. It means pleasure or delight. God placed Adam and Eve in a place of pleasure and delight. And I just think about that word pleasure. And I think that, man, I have the privilege and honor to have pleasure at least twice a week. And what I'm talking about is I get to go to Chick-fil-A, get the number 6, the 8-count grilled nuggets with a large fry, and top it off with an ice cream cone. That is pleasure. Thank you, Lord, for Chick-fil-A, for the manna of heaven. You rain down on me. My pockets are full so I can go there more. Amen.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's what God's saying. He's saying, listen, I've caused my children to be fruitful and to multiply and to have great pleasure
and
great delight.
Chick-fil-A.
And Chick-fil-A. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's Chick-fil-A sauce.
You don't even eat Chick-fil-A sauce.
You eat the Chick-fil-A sauce. I have secret sauce.
Yeah, this is
y'all want to know what the secret sauce is?
This is so gross.
I get lost in the sauce, all right?
It's nasty.
It's ketchup, 4 packets of ketchup, 5 packets of of mayonnaise. You mix it up, and it's,
gross.
Oh.
It's gross.
It is the secret, secret sauce.
Nope. That is not, mm-mm.
Yes, that's yes. Gross. But God's telling his people that there's blessings in the boundary.
Yeah.
And many a times, when we talk about relationships, we talk about physical boundaries. Mm-hmm. But we want to bring light to 2 other boundaries that you guys might have never even heard before. And those 2 boundaries are spiritual boundaries, but also emotional boundaries. And at the end, we're going to talk about physical boundaries, because you need all 3 of those to have a healthy relationship and one day a healthy marriage. And I say it like this: you can pay now, you get to pay now so you can play later. Mm-hmm. Or you can say it like this: if you want what everybody else has, do what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. So our culture is telling you test drive before you buy.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and see if they're good in bed, and then you decide if that's the one for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible's saying, hey, listen, I have these boundaries in place to bless you, to prosper you, to have a healthy marriage and a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Because when I look at our culture, I see 50% of marriages are entering divorce.
Yeah.
So if you want what everybody else has, do what everybody else does. But me and Ellie, we have chose that we don't want to have what everybody else has. So we're going to do what other people don't do. We're going to honor each other. We're going to respect each other. And that kind of goes into our first point.
Yeah.
It's this. If you want to know what a boundary looks like, what a spiritual boundary looks like, it can be found in Ephesians 5.
Yeah, Ephesians 5 says, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife in the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing, so that just as the church submits to Christ, as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. And verse 25 to 28 says, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor. Amen. Since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it, and that's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer 2, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church, and this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself in loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband.
See,
that's a good translation.
Yeah, it's the Message translation.
I
did my research. But what I want you guys to hear and to see in this verse is Paul's actually talking to the church in Ephesians, and he's saying, hey, listen, this is what your marriage should look like. Like Christ died for the church, so you as husbands should die to your wives. And if you guys can't live this out in your relationships, you won't be able to live it out in your marriage.
That's right.
So even though the context is to the husband and wives, it is actually a context to relationships as well. And Ellie, when you read this verse, tell me what you hear and what you see when it comes to the woman. Get this, hold on. So get this. I wrote her a love letter once.
Yep.
And I put
W-O-M-E-N.
M-E-N.
I was like, excuse me?
I thought it was the same thing. Woman, what's the difference? I was like,
is a big difference?
You are the woman of my life. And she's like, Zach, I'm sorry, but you misspelled that. I'm like, what?
Not right.
I did?
It's okay. It was still sweet.
But
it was still really sweet.
Ellie, like when you read this, like bring it to light. Like, because some people might read this and they're having a hard time. Like, what's this word submit look like?
Yeah.
What does it look like for a woman in a relationship? How should she treat her wife and play a part in that?
Her husband.
Her husband.
It's fine. But yeah, I think a lot of girls get really caught up in this whole submit to a man type of mentality, and it gets twisted a lot. But what this really is talking about is loving each other. And it doesn't go just one way. It goes both ways. And I heard an illustration once about marriage that really stuck with me. I thought it was so cool. But, you know, when you're on a boat and there's like a crew, like a pirate ship, like Pirates of the Caribbean, anybody? I love those movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But there's someone that is steering the boat, and then there's someone that's up in the crow's nest taking a look and watching out for stuff. And I look at my role as being a wife as being up in the crow's nest. You know, I'm watching out and I'm helping him out. We're communicating with each other, and he's the one that drives the boat. We need each other because, my gosh, if I see an iceberg in front of us, I better say something, and then he can steer the ship away from whatever that is. And I think it's a beautiful picture of what it looks like to honor each other. Like, he has to trust me. I have to trust him to protect our marriage, to protect each other, and to have a really awesome, awesome marriage. You got to work together as a team, and I got to honor his decisions, and he has to honor me in return as well. And so I think that's pretty cool because, gosh, doing it together is way better than doing it by yourself and having a teammate. Because together, you can really navigate life so much better. And when you submit, when I submit to you and you submit to me, we're honoring each other. And that's when love happens. Love is a choice, guys. It's not like a feeling. And this is what the picture of that choice looks like. It is saying, no, you know what? I trust you and I love you and I choose to honor you in this moment. And that's what's so beautiful about what love really is like.
Yeah, and a lot of times, like, the Bible says, wives, submit to your husband. Mm-hmm. But at the very beginning, in verse 21, it actually says, submit to one another.
Yeah.
And a lot of teachings, a lot of people will say, well, it's the woman's job to submit to a man. And that is so correct. But it's also my job as a husband to die for my wife. Mm-hmm. Just like Christ died for the church. And that word submit, it's not like shut up and submit to me. But it's actually like a coach player role. Mm-hmm. So I'm the coach and she's the player. But guess what? As a coach, it's my job to cheer her on.
Yeah.
It's my job to pull out the potential in her. It's my job to make sure that she has a victorious life and she comes out winning. So my job is not only to lead her, but my job is to die for her. Mm-hmm. So when you think about Christ, how he came, literally Christ came and he died for humanity. Mm-hmm. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's my job as a husband. It's actually being a husband is it can be more difficult leading and dying to myself, but also submitting to her. And my thing for you guys is are you a man that is worth submitting to? And I would say the same thing to the ladies as well. Are you a lady worth submitting to? And in our culture today, we preach independence. I'm independent. But in order for a relationship and one day marriage to last, you have to be interdependent.
That's right.
Where you say, you know what? I can't live without you. You can't live without me. My strengths are your weaknesses, and your weaknesses are my strengths.
Yeah.
Because guess what? I have a lot of weaknesses. If you get to know me for a little bit, you're like, that dude is messed up. But the beautiful thing is, my wife, Ellie, she gets to come alongside of me and saying, Zach, what's one of my weaknesses? I have a hard time saying no. I also love being around people all the time, so I'll work like 80 hours a week, mm-hmm. and then like last night, I burned myself out, and I sleep for like 16 hours. Mm-hmm. So she's always telling me, Zach, you can't always be hanging out with people. You need to recharge and rest up. I'm like, forget that. I'm doing what I want to do.
Every time.
But
We're getting better.
But that's our jobs together.
That's right.
It is to submit to one another, but also for me to make sure that mm-hmm. I see what's inside of you and pulling it out.
That's right.
But a lot of relationships is what can I get from that other person?
Yeah.
How can I get my needs filled? Instead of saying, how can I fulfill your needs?
Yeah.
So the first boundary that we need to have in place if you want a healthy and whole and prosperous relationship and one day marriage is to have those spiritual boundaries. Ask yourself, are you the person we're submitting to? Are you in a state to die to serve that other person? And the second boundary that we want to talk to you guys tonight, it's the emotional boundary. In Matthew 7, verse 6, it says this, do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they will trample them over under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Mm-hmm. And the first time I ever really heard about emotional boundaries was actually when Ellie was talking to me early in our relationship. So why don't you share a little bit about the emotional side of things?
Well, the biggest thing I think is that a lot of times you can go too fast in your relationship. And so for us, like we talked about that because it's rare when you find somebody that you are equally yoked with spiritually, that you're attracted to, and you're like, man, this is going great. This is the person I'm going to marry. Like these thoughts, they start to come in your mind and you'll have lots and lots of conversations with each other, start sharing your heart with each other. And before you know it, it's been 2 weeks and you've said, I love you, and you're ready to get married. Like that emotional boundaries protect your heart and protect your relationship. So you don't go too fast in a relationship. And so one of the things that I know that one of the boundaries that we put up there was we actually didn't pray over each other together, because a lot of times when you do that together, when you're in a new relationship dating, it can create soul ties between your heart and his heart, and it can take it to a place that is premature. So that was one of the boundaries that we put up for ourselves. And we always wanted to make sure that when we were here in Thrive, that I let him do what he was called to do, and he let me do what I was called to do. So we weren't like attached at the hip all the time, because then his priority might be me instead of you guys. And that's what he's called to be, is to be your pastor. And so we had to honor each other in our callings while we were dating and keep our relationship from going like way too fast, too prematurely. Because if you don't have the foundation in of the word, you don't know each other's character. Well, there's no way that you can know somebody well in 2 weeks or 2 months even, or, you know, sometimes it takes longer. You need to take it slow, pump the brakes, and make sure that you're not saying, I love you right away. Because love, it's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a choice. And you have to be able to know each other really, really well before you take it there. So, like, emotional boundaries are super, super important, because when it doesn't work out, or if it doesn't work out, then your heart becomes so devastated because you have these ties together because you went too far too fast emotionally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have the spiritual boundaries that we need to put in place. Mm-hmm. We have the emotional boundaries. And then lastly, we have what we call is the physical boundaries. Mm-hmm. And this is what Paul said to the Corinthians. He says, the body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So one of the things that me and Ellie decided to do a couple weeks within our relationship was to set up physical boundaries. So we sat down at Starbucks and we said, what are 10 things that we can have in place in order to bless our relationship and maybe one day our marriage? Mm-hmm. So we sat down, we were intentional about the things that we needed to put in place in order for both of us to lead into success and not have what she mm-hmm. called those soul ties. Mm-hmm. So there was a couple things that we did, and one of those things that I want to advise you guys to do, and I see that all of you guys are taking notes, which is, it just, man, as a pastor, when I see our teenagers taking notes, it just makes me so warm inside. Yeah. So basically, that's a way of saying, come on, guys, let's take some notes. So
this is good. This is good stuff.
Yeah, a part of our culture, I told you guys, is we will worship God.
That's right.
And we will be note takers, because note takers are history makers. And trust me, you can't remember all this stuff in one night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our job as pastors and leaders to make sure that we come with something cooked, ready to deliver to you guys, so you guys can have success in your life and your walk with God. So the first thing that me and Ellie decided to do is we kept others informed up front about our limits.
Yeah.
So we sat down and we said, hey, listen, I'm going to honor you and mm-hmm. I want you to honor me.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that even if this doesn't work, or if this does work, that, man, I'm treating you as though Christ treated the church.
Yeah.
Just like if I was dating, and this is how I really, you need to look at it. How would you like if someone disrespected your sister or your mom in a relationship? Mm-hmm. You better believe you're going to start flipping some tables. But do you know that person that you're dating is somebody's sister, potentially is somebody's sister or mom one day?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to honor that person as though it's your very own. So that's something we decided very on. Like, I'm going to honor you,
yeah.
and we're gonna do our best to honor each other, but also to honor God.
Yeah. Before you move on, when you're sitting down and you're talking boundaries with each other, if the other person is like, "Oh, we can't do this, and we can't," and their attitude is bad, that's a huge red flag. You want someone who is in this with you, so you're together in it, and like, hey, you know, I really want to protect your purity and vice versa. So make sure that even before these rules are established, that the heart is in the right place and you know why you're doing it.
Yeah. And the time to not talk about boundaries is not when you're in the back of the car.
Exactly.
And going too far, saying, oh, by the way, let me pull out my notes.
Yeah, by the way,
and
I'm
say,
not cool with this.
These are five things that I'm not going to do, because guess what?
Yeah.
You're a little bit too late. So mm-hmm. set boundaries up front. The second thing, and we're going to finish off with this because, man, it's our heart, and we really feel strongly that we want to pray for every single one of you guys. If you're in a relationship, if you're not in a relationship, maybe there's some soul ties that are there, maybe there isn't, but we want to just lay our hands on and pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to finish up with this last one, and it's this: keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. So keep others informed about your boundaries, but also mm-hmm. keep your mouth shut. And I don't talk about, I'm not saying like, hey, you can't talk to one another. I'm saying you can't play tonsil hockey. Like, you can't be sticking your tongue in
We're
the back of their throat.
We're talking about kissing.
Yes, kissing. Yes, tonsil hockey.
Yes.
That's what we called it back when I
That's
when
what
I grew
you
up.
Called it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm old and outdated. I don't know. People tell me I'm like a dad now, so.
Aw.
But it's respecting that other person and saying, you know what? A lot of times we ask ourselves, when are we going too far?
Yeah.
And I want to switch your thinking and say, how can I honor that person and not even think about what's the limit? How can we go to the boundary and not cross it?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have that kind of mindset, it's a dangerous mindset, because 99.9% of the time, you might have those boundaries, but you're asking yourself, how can we go to the limit without crossing it? But it's a matter of time before you cross that boundary.
Yep.
So if me and her are hanging out on a Friday night and we're dating, and number one, I make sure that we sit down and we have these boundaries in place, but say we go there and we're kissing, and then something else happens, guess what? It's just a matter of time before your blood begins to boil. I talked about the dudes with you guys last week. A lot of times what happens is, your blood goes from one head, and then you quit thinking with the other head. Okay, so it's the truth. It is the truth. Because you get lost in the sauce. You get lost in the moment. You're like, man, I'm going to marry this chick one day. I'm going to marry this guy one day. And before long, you got heavy hands. Where you're hugging her, then your hands get heavy, and then just start going down. And then, wait. Heavy hands. Heavy hands never win a fight. Remember that. My dudes, listen. Listen, I'm being real with y'all. Heavy hands will never win a fight. My dad used to teach me boxing. I almost got in a fight with this guy one time. We were at the Little League field. He's like, Zach, go fight him right now. If he's going to keep on bullying you, just go take him. I'm like, Dad, this dude's 10 times bigger than me. And I remember being in the basement. You got to have those light hands, Zach. You got to have those light hands. But that's the thing. Heavy hands never win a fight. Your hands get tired. And before long, they start grabbing things they shouldn't be grabbing. So we have boundaries up front, but also we keep our mouths shut. So what I want you guys to understand tonight is maybe you're in that place where you didn't have any boundaries. Mm-hmm. And right now you're probably feeling this guilt and shame like, man, I've already went too far. I'm a mess up. I'm not worthy enough. I have no value. I've already given up my virginity to that person. But it's our heart and hope tonight that you would understand that you're not defined by your past, but you're defined by the promises of God. Yeah. And that he has crowned you with dignity and worth. And if you guys really begin to understand and see the way that God sees you, you won't lower your standards. But you'll actually elevate your standards and say, you know what? I'm worth more than that. You ain't going to touch me there. You ain't going to kiss me there.
That's right.
But I'm gonna honor you, and you're gonna honor me.
Yeah.
But you have to have those preconceived. You have to have that. Those, it has to be predetermined that you know what I'm gonna honor her no matter what. Mm-hmm. If I have to run out because I'm thinking about going to fork, guess what? I'm gonna run out.
That's right.
Do whatever you can do.
Yep.
But also don't put yourselves in those situations.
Yeah.
So tonight, I know that there's some of you guys that you're saying, you know what, I've already went too far. I already crossed the limit. Do you know we serve a God of second chances? A God of third chances? A God of fourth chances? A God of fifth chances? A God of 70th chances? So what I want you guys to do is just close your eyes and bow your heads, and I'm going to have the prayer team come up. My prayer partners, young adult leaders, why don't you guys come up? And we're going to pray for you. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, and we're gonna have Maddie and Cody come out, and we're gonna go back into worship. But I want to encourage every single one of you guys to come up and to receive prayer, even if you haven't went past that limit or that boundary. I want our leaders to pray for you guys that you guys would continue to have the boldness and the courage, and that you guys would continue to know your value and your worth. So Father God, we come to you tonight. With open arms. God, we know that you are a supernatural God that wants to do supernatural things in our lives, God. So we thank you that your presence is here, that your Holy Spirit is moving and breathing inside of us and inside of this room. So, Lord, no matter what has happened to us in the past, Lord, we look to the fulfillment of your promise that we are covered by your blood, that we are a child of a living God, that our past is not going to define us, but your promises, God. So, Lord, we come to you tonight. And if there's some of us that are having these soul ties, Lord, we know that you can break those soul ties. We know that you can make us brand new again, that the bondages and the weight of this world can be lifted off, that we can find freedom, Lord, tonight. So God, we open up to receive from you. And right now, what I want you guys to do, I want everybody to just stand up on their feet. We're gonna go back into worship, and I want our leaders, our Thrive leaders, I want you guys to lead the way and come down and get prayed for first. So be bold about that. And then I want everybody, we have enough time that everybody can receive prayer tonight. So guys, let's go. Come on, let's get prayer, let's go. Don't be bold about your faith. Be bold. Don't let your past define you. Be bold. It's time that we are set free of this generation, that we're not going to be bound down by the things of this world. Come up, receive prayer, make a prayer line. Everybody come up to receive prayer and watch God do something supernatural in your life. It's a mindset. It's a change in the mindset. And when I was younger, I did not understand what worship was all about. But the more that I grew, the more that I become more like Christ, the more that I understand that worship isn't just singing songs, but it's like a faith declaration. Like, listen, I don't come to Thrive on a Saturday night and say, let's twiddle our thumbs, let's go after it. I literally look at coming into Thrive as a battleground. Like, this isn't a playground. The world and the culture that we are living in, it is not a playground. It's a battleground. They're doing whatever they can to drag you down, to beat you out, to make you to bleed out. They want to do whatever they can that you guys continue to live in the bondages and the weight of this world. But when we come to Thrive, literally when worship is on, when we're singing, I'm acting like I'm about to knock somebody out. I'm acting like, hey, listen, devil, you might have something up your sleeve, but I serve a bigger God. I'm here to fight. I'm here to win, because the Bible says, whom the Son set is free indeed. We are victorious. We don't have to fight from a place to gain victory, but we fight from a place of victory. So when I come into Thrive, I'm not kidding you, I have my fist clenched, and I'm like, okay, devil, you want to mess with me tonight? Let's go. I'm about to take you 100 yards. I'm about to take you from the 1 yard line all the way down to the other yard line. I'm about to score a touchdown. I'm about to score about 100 points on you tonight, because I'm not going to let you win. I'm not going to let you beat me down. That's the God that we serve. He knocks down every stronghold, because we serve a good God that wants to meet you exactly where you're at, but he loves you too much to keep you where you're at. So when we worship, guys, literally, this is a culture thing that I've talked to you guys about for the last 6 weeks. When we come into worship, we are going to worship a living God. We're going to lift up our hands. We're going to shout. We're going to sing. We're going to dance. I don't care what y'all do. I need to see some of you guys just going after it. And the second thing is, we are going to be a note-taker ministry, because note-takers are history makers. And you can't remember everything every single weekend, but when you write those down and you go home and you say Monday comes, because that's when the true test comes, when Monday comes and you have to go back to your school, you have to go back to your work, and people are always negative, tearing you down. Man, I'm going to pull out my notes. What does God say about me? What did I learn this? Oh, man, I'm a child of Christ. I have value and worth. I'm crowned in dignity with worth. That I know my value's more than somebody trying to get in my pants. I know my value's worth more than doing what the culture's telling me to do here and now. This ministry does not exist for Saturday night. This ministry exists for your everyday life. And we want to set you up to win every single day of your lives. So let me pray for you guys. Man, it was such an honor worshiping with you guys. I saw us take another step in our worship and where we're going as a ministry. I'm excited to share probably in these next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I'm going to be sharing some awesome news that we're going to be doing here at Thrive that's going to change the face of this region. It's going to change your schools. But let me pray for you guys. Father God, we're so thankful that we can come into your presence and have freedom and joy, Lord, that we can come and have a prosperous life, which prosperity means just knowing you, God, that we can have a real, intimate, deep relationship with you, that it's not about religion, punching our ticket and checking out, but we get to come and experience you on a Saturday night corporately, but also we get to experience your love, your joy, Lord, outside of these four walls where real ministry happens. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we took our next step as a ministry, that there's so many of us that we had these soul ties and this bondage and this weight and this yoke that was on our shoulders has been lifted off here tonight, God. We thank you that we can experience true freedom. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're in here tonight and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hands, and Christ is going to come. He's going to live and breathe inside of you. The Bible says that he makes all things brand new. So if you're in here tonight and you never made that decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, to be a fully follower of Christ Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a second. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you tonight, nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to call you out. I want you to simply raise your hand in the count of three, and Jesus will come in. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. If that's you tonight, I want you to raise your hand in the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I see that hand. I see that hand. You go ahead and put your hands down. We have hands going up. I see that hand. And since we're a family here at Thrive, I want everybody to repeat the simple prayer after me. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Everybody repeat this after me. Dear Father God, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that I need your grace. Lord, here and now, I repent and I turn towards you. May you be the Lord and Savior of my life. My life will never be the same because you came in We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's give it up for those people.